Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. Today's guest is Rachel Lynn Solomon. Rachel writes YA contemporary books, and her latest book is an enemies to lovers rom-com set in the last day of high school called Today, Tonight, Tomorrow. In this episode, we chat about romance, her writing process, and of course, a round of book recommendations. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the Watch Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am an author based in Seattle. I grew up in a suburb and I went to college at the University of Washington, studied journalism, and then I worked in that field for a few years before I started feeling pulled more to fiction. So I found a job in a completely different field from journalism just because writing during the day and then going home and doing more writing was a lot. So for a while I was dividing my time between working in education management and writing in the evenings. And yeah, these days I don't write full time. I do some editing work and some workshops, but I'm published in YA. I have an adult romantic comedy coming out next year. And I feel very lucky to have this career. It, you know, a few years ago, it felt like something that was very far away in terms of accomplishments. So I am just very grateful to be here and really happy that, you know, my words are out there in the world.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So tell us what inspired you to become a writer. What inspired you to write fiction, actually?
Yeah, so I think writers tend to be in a couple different camps. I think many people, they've always wanted to be writers, right? Like my mom jokes that I came out of the womb like writing a book. You know, I wrote constantly as a kid. I was a huge reader. I just didn't know that being an author was something that, you know, normal people could do. Writers really felt like celebrities to me when I was a kid. You know, I was obsessed with the Princess Diaries series and I followed Meg Cabot's blog religiously. I didn't realize that this was something that you could create or something that you could turn into a career. So, you know, because there's no real clear career path, right? Like you can go to school and study any variety of things. So I am definitely in that camp. I think the other camp are people who either found it later in life or they sort of had a really meaningful experience with a book and that inspired them, or, you know, they had some meaningful experience elsewhere and they needed to write about it. But yeah, I have always written, always read. And it wasn't until college, sort of the end of college and then right after graduating that I thought I would try, seriously pursuing publication.
I love this so much. So what was that journey to get that first book published?
So it was definitely not a straight line. And I'm sure just from talking to other authors and for me, from talking to my friends and just being in the community, it is never a straight line. I think even if someone has an easy journey to getting published, like their first book, you know, sells immediately, like they're probably going to have some challenge at some point because this industry is not, it's difficult. So for me, like I said, I started getting serious about writing with the goal of pursuing publication right around the end of college. So I was working on a book that was semi-autobiographical, was sort of about a post-grad girl who doesn't really know what to do with her life. I worked on it while at my first job. My first job, I was working as a producer for a morning radio show, and I had to be in the office at 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So my shift started at 2, ended at 10.
Okay.
Yeah, which left, there were a couple hours in there where I was the only person in the station.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would just, I didn't actually have a desk that was mine, but I would write emails to myself that became bits of the first book that I tried to get published.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that took me probably a year before I felt like, okay, this is done. And even then, I was still tinkering with it, even as I was sending it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I researched literary agents. I became part of a local critique group. I got really encouraging feedback. And even as I was sending the book out, I think I only got one request out of 50 or so queries that I sent. But it still felt like enough to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one person in my critique group told me that my voice sounded very YA, and I hadn't read YA in a long time. You know, like I said, I'm a huge Meg Cabot fan, but throughout high school and college, you know, YA was the furthest thing from my mind in terms of my reading preferences.
Yeah,
so I went back and I started reading. I had not heard of John Green, Sarah Dessen, who are just obviously huge in contemporary, but I just completely skipped over them as a teen. Like, the way that my age just completely kind of missed them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just so much that I didn't know about the YA world, and I just consumed as much as I could. Wrote another book, started querying that one, didn't go anywhere, wrote another one after that, and I signed with my first agent on the third book that I queried.
Oh my gosh.
And then, it took 2 more books after that and a new agent before we sold a book.
Oh my gosh, that's a journey.
Yeah, so it was my fifth manuscript since I got serious about wanting to be published that earned me a book deal.
Oh my gosh, well, that's amazing.
Thank you.
It's a lot of work, and so you have shown the work. That's amazing. So you're actually publishing an adult romantic comedy. Was the process different just to pitch that? Did you get a different publishing house, or is the same publishing house that's going to publish it?
So my adult book is with a different publisher.
Okay.
Yeah, same agent. It was a pretty different experience because I had had some, you know, I had some publishing credits, even though the books that I had out at that point were pretty different. But that book, it was actually very heavily based on my own experiences in journalism and in public radio specifically. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty cathartic book to write.
That's exciting. All right. So sort of your writing process. Do you follow another one? Do you see what the story leads to? Are you a plotter or a pantser?
You know, I am a semi-religious plotter.
Okay.
I really like using, especially now that I'm writing mostly romance and rom-coms, I really like using rom-com beats while still allowing myself space to subvert tropes or play around with things. You know, there's so many things that just come up naturally when you're writing that might take you in a completely different direction from your outline. And I'm always open to those kinds of things that come up. But I really like to have everything plotted out beforehand just to kind of prove to myself that I have enough to create a book and to create a complete character and plot arc. I just really like having like insurance for myself almost in terms of like, okay, I can definitely do this. Like, this is going to make a complete story. I can go back to this outline if I need to. It's almost just like this little comfort to have in your back pocket as you're drafting.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think an outline just gives you some direction, and you never know, the characters may surprise you, but I think it just gives you that comfort zone. Like, you know where you can fall on if something crazy happened. You're like, oh, it's in the outline. So
exactly.
Awesome. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of your ideas, inspirations, and characters?
Most of what I use is Google Docs.
Okay.
And I like that just because I can get it on my phone and on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I will often have a folder for each project, and then I will have a spreadsheet that sort of serves as like a Bible for the book. I will have a list of character names. I get really obsessive about not wanting too many characters with the same letters to start their name or like the same sounds. Like I just want, you know, a variety. I remember one time I read a book that had two major characters that their first name started with like M-A-R-C. It was like, you know, like Marcus and Marcella or something. And it was, it's just like, it's one of those things that you're like, really? They couldn't have changed that? but I realize it like doesn't matter at all in terms like narratively, but I'm very, I think I romanticize what the written word looks like. Mm-hmm. So to me, that variety is just very visually pleasing. So I have, you know, a list of characters, I have a list of chapters and what happens in every chapter. And sometimes I will also break down that list into plot threads. Okay. So I will make sure I'm like, okay, this is the romance thread and this is what happens in every chapter. This is what's going on with her career. This is what's going on with her family. Because sometimes I'll look at my outline and I'll be like, oh, she's having conflict with her friend, but she doesn't see her friend for 8 chapters. Maybe I should fix that.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. I think, that's combined with the outline. It can help you kind of like shape the book up.
Yeah. So I use all of that, you know, simultaneously. And I think it's very similar to what people do with index cards and, you know, like putting index cards up on a wall. I just do it all digitally.
So do you share your work along the way, or do it's completed for others to read?
So I only share really early stuff with a few like very trusted people who know what my work can be so that they don't judge me too harshly when it's very rough. But what I find most valuable at the early stages is just brainstorming with friends. So people who just know kind of very vaguely what the book is about, and I'll just shoot them over a question and we'll kind of talk it out. Because sometimes people will come up with a solution that seems very obvious, but you were just too close to see it.
Yeah, I can imagine. So far today, tomorrow, which is a departure from your two previous books. It's a more rom-com, you know, romance. What was that source of inspiration?
So what inspired me with that book, it's kind of interesting because it was two different movies that I saw many years apart, and they're by the same director, which was not at all intentional. So the first one was Before Sunrise, which is part of a trilogy of these romantic films, and it is about two strangers who meet on a train in Europe, and they get off in Vienna and spend an entire day together just exploring the city and falling in love. Yeah, and I saw this movie maybe 7 years ago, and as soon as it finished, I remember turning to my boyfriend, now my husband, and being like, I really want to write a book like this movie. And he was like, it's just two people walking around and talking. Like, what are they going to do? I was like, oh yeah, that's a good point. So I just sort of, you know, tucked that away. And then a few years ago, I saw the movie Dazed and Confused for the first time.
Okay.
And it's one of those movies that just seems like everyone has seen. You know, it's always gift and memed and things like that. So I was like, okay, I should probably see this movie. And it's also directed by Richard Linklater. It's not the best movie. It definitely has not aged well, but the whole thing takes place on the last day of senior year. And I just really loved this atmosphere and just the kind of sense of being on the precipice of something exciting and all of the high school nostalgia. And it just captures that end of high school mood so well. And I think it was even immediately after I watched that, I turned to my husband and I was like, I want to write a updated YA Dazed and Confused. And then as I started thinking about it more, I was like, oh, and I could kind of include the love story from Before Sunrise and have it be about these two people gradually falling in love over the course of 24 hours on the last day of senior year. And, you know, I love enemies to lovers, so let's have them be longtime rivals. And that was really where it all coalesced into one solid idea.
I love it. I love the fact that it was a game, that it was like frenemies to lovers, or enemies to lovers. And then they were like, they had to work towards their name, where they had to kill each other. Like, it was just stakes were higher. in that last day of school. So I really love the premise of this book.
Thank you so much.
So this book is love story to Seattle, because so much of the book takes place in different parts of Seattle. It's like a scavenger hunt slash kill the person. So how much fun was it to put together the Howl, which is the game, and how did you get that timeline right?
And I also just want to clarify that no one is actually dying. It's based on sort of like assassin or mafia. So Howl, it's a mashup of those kinds of games and a scavenger hunt. So your people are searching for clues around Seattle, and they also have the target of someone, and someone has their name, so they're kind of like being hunted. So it was a bit of a headache at times to put it together, mm-hmm. because I had all these maps and all these locations. I mean, there's so many locations and scavenger hunt clues that didn't make it into the final book because they just didn't work logistically or geographically. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to figure out the rules of the game. Mm-hmm. In an earlier draft of the book, there was like this mysterious app developer who made the game, but it seemed really sinister that someone would just, you know, set these teens loose in the city and be like, go have fun. So now it's something that's a tradition put on by the junior class as a way of saying goodbye to the seniors. And I like that a lot more.
Yeah.
It's not as high tech, but it just makes a lot more sense. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. It wound up being the plot that I was trying to find when I, that first time I saw Before Sunrise and wanted to write a book like that. And I'm really happy that people have been excited about the Seattle elements in the book, because I've lived here my whole life and I really love this city and I love sharing it with people.
Yeah, I love the fact that it just, at least at this time in the pandemic while we're not traveling, it just took us to a different place to get to explore Seattle, the city, and think about little known facts or like you didn't realize it, you know, as a native that you may know or you may not know. And then sometimes one who's not native learning about Seattle more. Like, it was just like a great place to escape.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, and it was something I worried about actually with the pandemic, because I was like, is this going to feel sort of like I'm rubbing this in people's faces because this is something they can't do? And, you know, obviously it was not something I knew when I wrote the book, but I've been really happy that it's been able to provide some escapism for people right now.
Yeah, so it's really awesome. So, and the authors know you, Shirley, are a new romance reader. What led you to discover this genre?
Yeah, so that actually happened kind of alongside drafting this book. It happened kind of after the 2016 election. You know, I was always drawn to dark books. Mm-hmm. And I just had a lot of trouble picking things up that were really heavy. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I liked romance. You know, I loved Meg Cabot, Sophie Kinsella, Jennifer Weiner. I probably read a lot of those way before I should have, which is sort of like Rowan in the book.
Yeah.
But I think I was really heavily influenced by sort of this societal pressure that tells us, you know, romance novels are not worthy pieces of literature. They're garbage. You know, they're so judged the way so many media geared toward women is judged in this really unfair way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I am going to pick up some of these books that sound amazing. I really think the first one that kind of set me down this path was The Hating Game,
which is
just such a fun book. It has like the best tension. I think even several years later, I have not read a book with tension that is that crackling. It's just so great. And I was like, wait, I love this. I want more. So it was while I was reading those books and while I was revising Today, Tonight, Tomorrow, because originally the main character was not an aspiring romance author. She wanted to be a politician. but there was just something that wasn't connecting. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to, like, what can she actually accomplish politically on the last day of senior year? Like, that is something that is probably quite far from her mind at that point. You know, it's not really election season or anything. And I just loved the idea of making her a romance author, especially having it be something that she keeps secret, because it really mirrored my experience in junior high and high school when I sort of doctored my interests and hobbies to be more palatable to other people. Mm-hmm. And I think I really prevented myself from seeking out media that would have made me happy. And you know, that's something over the course of these 24 hours, she learns to embrace this.
I love it. I love the journey of someone who's a romance reader. It's something that I'm so aware of it. Like, you know, society's expectations, like, you know, it's like, oh, it's just guilty pleasure, or it's, you know, or it's trashy or whatever. And, you know, to be honest, like, it's devalues the genre that's smart, that's written for women, that just provides, you know, a diversity. It's not just like, there's not just one woman's book at all. So I love the fact that she had that journey for not only to come out as a romance reader, but also to convert Neil to look at the genre beyond misconceptions, you know, and to see it as something that people can read and can take advantage of it. It's not just for female, for women to read. Like, men can read romance too, so.
Right, and that was like one of the challenges too, because I was like, I want to make Neil kind of, you know, I want it to be very clear why Rowan doesn't like him at the beginning, and he is sort of trashing her books. They're trashing these books that she likes. You know, like from the second page, it's made very clear that he does not see any value in romance novels.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I really need to redeem him. And I was just like, I really hope readers will like stick with him, because he has some secrets, and he, you know, maybe does not quite feel that same way anymore. So that was definitely a challenge, but I'm happy with how it turned out.
I love it. And I love the fact that, you know, they had this whole debate about classics, and she's like, why men like complaining about people, like, and he ended up reading Oral Roberts, you know, in the process. Mm-hmm. Like, so there was like a sense of like, you know, they were complaining, they had the battle of the wills about what's supposed to be good literature. At the end of the day, like, they both try to meet in the middle too. So that was pretty neat.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So Neil loves language. What was your research like to get this part right? Because there's like different words from different languages were incorporated.
Yeah. So I, you know, like I said earlier, I just love words, and I considered studying linguistics for a while in college. I've always loved other languages. You know, one thing that Neil really loves, which is words in other languages that don't have an English equivalent. I just find it so beautiful that there are these words that sum up something that in English we have like an entire phrase to describe that feeling. Because I think a lot of times, especially in like Anglo-speaking and just like Anglo-centric spaces, people put English up as on a pedestal, and it's, English is sort of considered I guess like a common denominator, or it's almost, I think we also, because we have so many like English language learners, like there's a certain intelligence associated with English in the US that is a really terrible way of looking at things. Like there's absolutely no correlation between being intelligent and speaking English. So so that is why I really love that there are these words in other languages that we do not have an equivalent for in English. It's just sort of like being like, you know, take that, English, these other languages have so much value.
Yeah, I love the fact that it just incorporated something bigger. And it was like, I love that Neil like learned all these different languages. Like, he was just like, he created his own world. Like, he was able to just, you know, move forward, as opposed to with the different drawbacks that he had growing up. So that he explored different languages, that he just saw this as an opportunity, you know, to create a career that you probably wouldn't think of That's something unique about this book.
Thank you.
So what are some of, you mentioned some of your upcoming projects. So you have the adult rom-com. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Definitely. So my adult rom-com, it's coming out in February from Berkeley. It's called The X Talk, and it is about public radio, or it is a romantic comedy set in the world of public radio. And it is about these two coworkers who hate each other. I really love that trope. And they are sort of roped into this scheme where they host a, or they are pretending to be exes to host a dating show. And as the show gets more popular, they start falling for each other, which of course, you know, complicates the show and their journalistic ethics and, you know, all of their feelings and all of that good stuff. And I haven't started talking about it that much yet. So it's, which is why I sort of stumbled over it, but I am, you know, now that Today, Tonight, Tomorrow is out, you know, the promo for that book will be starting up relatively soon. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. I remember actually at some reason I heard about this book at couple months ago, like it was like mentioned. I was like, I want to read this book. So now you mentioned,
thank you.
You're the author. I was like, this is amazing. Yeah, I heard about the public radio. It just captured my attention.
Well, sure. I mean, as someone who's a podcaster,
So this is awesome. So now let's go to a random book recommendation. It's an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
Definitely romance.
Who are your favorite authors?
So in romance, I really love Alicia Rye, Alyssa Cole, Kate Claiborne, Jen DeLuca. Gosh, it's always so hard to do it off the top of my head. I'm like, yeah. I mean, Christina Lauren, of course, they were like one of the first authors that when I was getting back into romance. You know, I just like devoured all of their backlist. I really loved You Deserve Each Other by Sarah Hogle that came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Something to Talk About by Meryl Wilsner. Those most of my reading trends toward, you know, romantic comedies with bright illustrated covers these days.
I love it. Yeah, there's some good ones actually out there, and there are some good ones that are coming up this year. So it's good that you are. So tell us where we can find you online.
Yeah, so I'm at RLYNN_Solomon, SOLOMON, on both Twitter and Instagram, and RachelSolomonBooks.com.
Thank you, Rachel, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. This was a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.